Listener warning, everything about this podcast is offensive and often stupid.
It's the podcast that your mom watches and we watch her back. It's Guys, Games, and Beer!
Yeah!
So this is part three, Rob. We've actually done... So for those of you who might actually have been watching our show, we've actually been talking about the same topic for three freaking episodes.
But we've been time traveling, and that's cool.
That's true.
We're not simply out of ideas.
No. Yeah. No, there were enough ideas here where we could have done three episodes. We could probably do more.
We dropped into our fartus, and we're moving. Good time.
And or space.
So this is the third part tonight. We're talking about the 2000s tonight.
You guys are just ready.
Everybody really wants to drink.
Yeah, we're all drink. You notice? Yeah, we're all opening our
showdown beer. I have a little bit of self control.
Right? Okay, so this is a showdown beer. Larry, you bought this, so you get to. So this is coming out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, Henry's Hard Soda.
Okay,
there's like the new hot.
Since we're talking about things that never happened.
Hard soda should never happen. I agree.
Maybe we should talk about things that shouldn't have ever happened.
Okay, so who's the company on this one?
And it's orange.
Who is the brewer?
But it's like but alcoholic weird drinks are popular now. The root beers and the ginger beers.
Okay,
part of the 2000s.
The Blitz Weinhard
and
Brewing Company.
New Age Zimas.
It's a 4.2%. It is a hard soda. It's made with cane sugar. Yay, cane sugar. And this is an orange soda. Let's give it a try.
It's probably like orange.
Who loves orange soda? Kale loves orange soda.
Okay. That's not bad.
Tastes like orange soda.
Pro tip. If you want alcohol not to taste like shit, cover it with sugar.
Cane sugar.
It's okay.
It's the one.
It tastes like orange soda. I can barely taste the alcohol in it.
And when it gets warm, like right now, it's pretty good temp.
It's got a little bite to it. You can definitely taste alcohol in it.
But once it gets warm,
it's like a sour orange soda. It doesn't just taste like orange soda. Orange soda, you get that sugary sweetness, and it's like overly sugary. This is like tart, like a sweet tart.
Yeah, it does have a little tart.
Yeah,
I'll throw a half a shot of vodka in there. And
it would probably be great.
Yeah, so if you want to save money, buy regular orange soda. Put vodka in it. That's pretty much what this is.
Yeah. I agree. So now, let's see what exactly is.
Apparently, it's tasty stuff.
Is this what I'm thinking it is? Let's see.
Yeah, the caps do have the nice little one line.
Bro, if you're lazy enough not to mix two things together, you can buy Henry's Hard Soda, now available in convenient six packs.
Basically, you are paying for.
Why don't they make craft brews in 40s?
So now, is this an actual soda that they've?
I think it's an
put alcohol
soda.
In it?
Or is it a malt beverage? I don't think it's a malt beverage.
Is it a malt? Read what it says on the top.
Malt
I can't read
beverage
it.
With natural flavor.
Okay.
And
it's a malt beverage.
This also tastes like orange Gatorade mix when it's too watered down. I think that's the best thing I can describe it as. Like, you mix it improperly ratioed and you get that little bit of wateriness, but you still get the taint.
Ooh,
tang. Yeah.
It's kind of just like watered down.
Wait a minute. Tang.
And think of the real upside. You leave it lying around, your five-year-old get into it because it looks like soda in there.
And it's
that'll be good times for everyone.
Okay, if anybody ever gets a chance, YouTube the skit Kid Beer by the Whitest Kids You Know. This is the beverage in Kid Beer. This is what Kid Beer is.
All right, so, gentlemen, what do we think?
It's very subpar.
I'm going to go with that, too. It's not anything I would run... Okay, Larry's a big no on that.
Subpar.
I would save money, and for probably a price of two of those six packs, I could make up a 5-gallon container of pretty much the same thing.
For that reason, I'm going to go down because you're right. This is just somebody being lazy ass.
And we've also.
I mean, it's not bad.
It's not summertime. This is a summertime drink. Like
then get yourself like a Stiegel Radler or something. Like that shit's delicious.
Yeah, this is definitely no. Beer.
All right.
I'm seriously considering licking my own testicles to get that taste out of my mouth.
I'll have yours.
Oh, grab one of
my testicles.
That's it.
Thanks.
My testicles or the drink?
I'll have a little bit of both.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
no,
whoa.
No, no, no.
I can gargle both.
Back seven.
All right. Well, all right. So let's get back to the real topic. So, Rob, the real topic tonight is...
Oh, my God. It's Vaporware Consoles of the 2000s. The final chapter. God.
We'll take this.
Yeah. You know what? That means he doesn't want it.
Funny. I kind of felt like...
Thank you.
Wait, 2000, does that go up to 10? Or,
the aughts.
You know, there's
6 years of vaporware.
There's, yeah, there's 10 years of...
Yeah.
10 years of solid vaporware there.
Well, I know, but there's an additional 6 there could be.
And yeah, no. Now you're into the 2010, so no.
Modern vaporware.
Talk about 2001 to Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
And, well, I suppose to... That's... Too new, it still could come out.
Any of these could still come out.
Yeah. All right, so what systems are we talking about?
All right, we're going to start with the Game Park XGP. With a planned release date of 2006. No actual month set. It's actually, this is interesting, by the way. Because I was into this company, so there's a lot of good history here. Game Park was best known for their creation of the semi-popular GP32 back in 2001.
Huh.
Ask most folks about the Korean manufacturer, and they'll give you blank stares.
Yeah, I mean...
You may hear a slight buzzing noise or some clicking as they try to process the concept of a gaming company that survived over a decade and a half that they've never heard of. But there it is, staring at all of us. Accusingly, can you tell I actually wrote this?
Yeah, you did actually write that. Nice note
there. You're telling a nice
story. The homebrew handheld gaming revolution that almost was. But wasn't.
Did you do that on Mead? So I'm waiting for the typos to come.
I did not do this on Mead. I was not doing anything after that.
Oh, you have anything in your story?
Quick
if you try
drink
to look
update.
It up, you'll be confused.
As you drink it, a fun image appears behind the back. This puts that in the pro column. I don't. I'm really curious to what is at the bottom of.
Oh,
my
hey,
drink.
Wait! I have another image behind mine too.
So as you drink it, there's an image that shows up. So we'll see what fun beholds beneath the label.
You suck this drink. Like, we sucked your
it
soul.
It gives you the illusion you're really hammered. But you're
okay. Sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh no, it's okay. That stuff, man. You're taking a bullet from me. Game Park was created privately.
Do you need an emergency beer?
No. No, I do not. Game Park was created privately, but was funded by the South Korean government when they decided that they'd had enough of Japan's near monopoly on gaming.
Wow. Took them a while.
Yeah, they were mostly fed up with it because since World War II, South Korea had banned the import of electronics from Japan, and now Korean children had nothing to play with.
Except themselves.
Which is bad. Very good.
And a stick in a hoop like every good country.
Yep.
Damn right.
Good old ball in the cup.
So. Okay. This kind of thing usually ends up in chronic failure. Jax. But the GP32. See, like every Soviet bloc video game system that ever came out. Sorry, guys. Sorry to my
Eastern Bloc.
From the motherland, Russia. Yes.
Sorry for the motherland, people. Your computers were awesome, though. But anyway, usually this kind of thing ends up in failure, but the GP32 was actually created and surprised the market by surviving and even thriving, even though it was more of an underground enthusiast system. And actually, we were hanging out with that particular...
I don't know what a GP32 is.
The GP32 was a semi-open handheld gaming system. It was... we actually were playing them.
Yeah.
We were actually using them back
so
in the
was,
day.
I mean...
It's not about that. It's about the XGP. But don't worry. It's in the same vein. So it's coming.
Yeah, but that one came out.
That one came out, yes.
Right.
The other one came real close. So 2005. Game Park is hard at work on their next gaming device, but a disagreement breaks out between staff members about the direction of their next handheld. Disagreement leads to revolution. And in the end, the majority of the engineering staff, you know they can hear you right on the goddamn mic. You're right next to it. God fucking damn it! I am! I can't do it.
Yeah, nice try, though.
I can't care enough. Okay. Sorry.
I think, the argument that some people actually wanted the crossbar on the right hand?
Yeah, that was it. You're absolutely right. No, some people wanted fins, some people didn't. Disagreement leads to revolution. In the end, the majority of the engineering staff defects to a new company, Game Park Holdings, or GPH. GPH goes on to create the GP2X, the GP2X Whiz, and gasp their last breath, creating the ill-fated Canoo in 2010. I was going to look up pronunciation. I had one of those. If you've not heard of these systems, you're probably not a big indie gamer. But don't worry, we'll return to them someday. But this is not the story of the GP2X, it's the story of the GamePark XPG. So let's talk about it. GamePark XPG stands for Extreme Game Player! Come on, you guys buying this now?
Yeah.
You on the hook?
I'm not sold.
It's extreme.
Oh my god.
Three models were planned. A full-size device, a kid's device, and the XGP Mini. Think Game Boy Micro, because that's what they were thinking when they ripped it off to make this thing.
Hey, they added two extra buttons.
Yes. As far as performance, the XGP would have been the most powerful, followed by the Mini, and then being backed up by the kid's model. By the way, all models except for the kids' model were far more powerful than its competitor, which would have been the Game Boy Advance at that time. XGP would have focused on downloadable games, both commercial and homebrew. GP2X was very strong in the homebrew area, and this is probably where it would have been most exciting because GP2X, dude, was amazing with homebrew. I mean, they were just sick with the homebrew. Like, developers everywhere came from this platform. And I think they probably would have gone for this one.
Is it like their own custom platform, or?
It's really a Linux kernel, so you could get a whole lot of Linux games packed on it. But it was essentially a Linux kernel, but it was very customized. You wouldn't, if you're a Linux person, you'd notice. But I don't think people that weren't Linux knowledgeable would have noticed. Assuming it's like how GP2X did their interface, and you really couldn't tell on the GP2X at all. So hardware wise. The main one was based on the Magic Eye's V-Render 3D system on a chip, used throughout the GP2X line as well, and the Leapfrog Digi. You ever heard of that one?
Yeah, that child's toy.
Yeah, they used the same one, which, by the way, was regularly hacked make room for indie games and other things.
That thing was giant, dude.
No, it was only this big. It was only about that big.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, you're thinking that monster, yeah.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the monster.
The Digi was like their
game
little portable
Pro
one.
Or something like that.
Yeah, it was like huge.
Yeah, ridiculous.
You had like
huge.
When you had it in a 3-year-old's hand, it was as big as their head.
And you could beat them with it, which is awesome if they were playing it too much. I was really like that part.
It came with like soft foam sides so it didn't bruise them. So
they included a helmet with each one.
That's terrible, but totally makes sense in some
right?
way.
Thanks, engineering.
So, the CPU was an ARM 920T, advertised as running at 266 megahertz. They think it was probably overclocked from 200. 1.5 million polygons per second. Not too bad.
That's actually 16-bit really
stereo sound. It had Wi-Fi built in.
Whoa!
It came with a waifu?
Yeah.
Waifu.
With a waifu.
Wait, what would be the date?
Oh,
2025.
No. When would this be in? As far as having a device with a Wi-Fi, I mean, lots of things have Wi-Fi.
Now, this is going against a Game Boy Advance.
Yeah.
Game Boy Advance didn't have
it. Yeah, about 2006.
Right.
Yeah. Again, those specs were realistic. I wasn't like.
Yeah, they're not like blow away, but for a handheld system at the time, they were pretty impressive. They probably would have caught on fire.
I'm just thinking about phones at the time.
Was it 2001? Yeah, it was 2001. But it was quite a while before they went to the DS.
Yeah, it had a long span.
Yeah,
DS.
DS come out.
It might have, but it was pretty weak, too. It wasn't that strong either.
I remember.
Yeah, the original iterations of those, man, garbage.
Yeah, they're terrible, but like I remember getting my hands on one of those things, and they were pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like that Rub Rabbits game. Rub me some rabbits.
Carry on, Rob.
Oh, sorry. 64 megabytes of RAM.
I will, Orange. So
they thought it might have 128 by release.
Say something.
Used SD card for storage, as most open source things would. It's not really open source, though. It is actually privately held, but it had a lot of open source software for it. Rechargeable lithium ion battery, which was the standard for the time, really. And it had a customer target price of about $300.
That's not bad.
So then the Mini.
Well, that wasn't bad.
The Mini was basically the same thing, except it had a 2.2-inch screen, 256,000 colors, 4:3 aspect ratio, so you lost the widescreen format on that. Mm. Yeah, I'm a little worried. 32 megs of RAM, SD card, of course, rechargeable battery, customer target price $150, so it might have been more popular just because of that.
Yeah, I mean, that's right? A big fucking price difference.
Yeah,
that's a huge difference.
And not a whole lot of loss. I mean, the RAM, I guess, but I bet you could hack it.
Screen size.
The kids, however,
2.2-inch, 65,000 colors, 4x3, of course. The CPU is an ARM940T running at 140 megahertz, so you're taking a hit.
Yeah.
And only 8 megs of RAM.
Yeah.
And it took AA batteries, though. I thought that was kind of interesting, because that's something GP2X did. They chose not to use rechargeables in the original GP2X, because they wanted it to be easy to get standard batteries for it. Interesting. So, the customer target price was $75, though.
I can see with the kids, because if you give it to your kid, you can stop anywhere to pick up AA's, and you don't have to wait around for it to charge.
Right.
Makes sense.
I think, can you guys kind of guess why it died, considering these guys had not put out, its last game system was released, when was that? Where is that? What was that original game system that they did? It was like a million years ago.
Again, you need a platform, like you need actual software, you need developers behind it, you need, I'm pretty well versed in the game universe, and I hadn't really heard about it, so
it's really pretty famous.
I'm sure there was a market for it, but again, it's niche. It's a pretty high price point.
Yeah. It was
when this came out,
2001. So they were out of the market for like what, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, think about the fucking Atari. Atari of all companies had this big gap, and they couldn't get back into the market. What do you think? A smaller company like that could suffer.
Yeah, I agree.
Did they have any proposed launch titles?
They didn't really announce anything. It's not, you gotta kind of like, if you look at GP2X, which actually was fairly successful, it really didn't have launch titles either. That really wasn't its thing. The idea was that it could grassroots it. And it was very successful. They lasted a long time.
I mean, like, you announced something like this today, I would think it would be something like an Android device or something like that. So, like, again, you're getting to, the mid-2000s, mobile gaming was starting to become popular.
Oh, yeah.
But you're also seeing phones. Yeah. And things that you can game on.
No, that's what I'm saying. Mobile gaming.
Yeah. Phone gaming.
I agree with you.
You have the G1, which came out, I think, 2007.
Yeah.
That was the first Android phone.
Right, that could do gaming.
Yeah, well, first
just
Android.
Android.
But, they had mobile devices. You had the Engage before.
Symbian OS.
Yeah.
Which was on a whole bunch of systems. Could play games. Java games.
Yeah.
And they all suck, though.
No.
Kingdoms?
There are amazing Java games.
You could go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
No, I'm with Travis on this. There were some...
some really great games.
Java so games.
Two, Rob, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, well, fuck yourself. You don't know what a GP2X is. You don't know shit.
But realistically, mobile gaming was becoming much more popular.
That week's, this week's
due to phones starting to be able to have the capacity to do so.
We are going to do the GP2X.
Competing with that, something people
already
had.
Well, they were
also
competing with their own damn company.
Yeah.
They were competing with the smart part of their company that was having a hard
time. Well, and trying to release three products at once. Come on. Yeah, that's just dumb.
I agree. I think they made a whole lot of mistakes. I think that's probably one of the reasons why the Game Park Holdings split from them. I think they were probably not very focused, considering Game Park Holdings got three consoles out in the time it took them to get one not released.
So
that's probably why they died. It's too bad. It was an interesting machine. I thought their designs, they've got a... I'm sorry I didn't have pictures of the other two. But they were interesting looking devices. Yeah. That's a mini. They were interesting looking.
AKA the Game Boy Micro.
The best... Yes, exactly.
Was it backlit?
By that time, yeah.
The Game Roy.
Do you have specs on the size, like the case size?
Well,
that's screen
tiny.
Size.
2.5. It's a 2.5-inch screen. That's a tiny screen.
That's like this big. Look at
these ginormous
hands. Think that little micro.
That's like half of my screen.
Yeah, that's about that size of your screen. But that wasn't uncommon for phone games systems at that time, and screens of that time.
So I'm thinking that my phone would actually be the size of this.
Yeah, remember your screen was two things. It was the most expensive part of the system you were building.
Yeah, LCDs at that time were
horrendously expensive. Yeah. And was also your big power
issues.
And your big power waster. So you really had to think about your screen, not just for the cost of the system, but for the life of the battery. How long would that battery last? Like you said, they were LCDs at that time. Holy crap.
This would have had to have competed with a PSP, wouldn't it have? What was the release date on the PSP?
Again, it was definitely around in like 2005, 2006 when I was in high school.
It's going to have a hard time with that.
Yeah, because I mean, I had one in high school.
And also,
it worked.
Yeah, and it was
the GP. The GP2X had released in 2005, and it was pretty mainstay by then. They'd had a hard time.
They
would have had a hard time. Because that was the Korean game market. For a while, they couldn't import Japanese systems, so that's one of the legs up it had. It had its home market. I don't think it got as much love in Korea as it did in the U.S.
Americans love
these things, but
I always hear stories and stuff about it, like other companies taking on these importing and rebranding systems in Korea and stuff like that, especially in like the 90s.
The fake Saturns.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like...
There were a way for Koreans to get the system. Like you said, they do the fake rebranding. They bring it into an American company.
Well, we talked about one, didn't we?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. And then we talked about one where they rebranded.
Yeah, the Famicom.
Do it? Yeah,
we talked about the Famicom.
Yeah,
the Super Famicom becoming rebranded by something else. I can't remember what the name was, and then being resold in Korea because that was always their issue. They couldn't get these systems. The name is very similar. It wasn't all that different, but they did a lot of that kind of
Super
rebranding
Famicom.
Stuff, like you talked about.
Super Bandai-com.
So, I mean, like, was this something that was never released? Were there prototypes?
There are prototypes. You can look on YouTube and you can see the prototypes running. This thing was pretty close. Right. I mean, they had the technology.
Yeah, and it's realistic in scope.
They ran out of money. Sorry, not memory.
Which in some ways is, like...
The kids one would ran out of
notes. It makes it one of our less interesting systems to talk about in a way. Because it is, like, super realistic, you know?
Yeah. It's one of those things... Oh yeah, based on Linux. Oh, it's decent specs. This seems reasonable.
You want
It doesn't have a TV tuner or a toaster.
Like, come on. Like, my hot pot's gonna get cold.
Wait, you want a segue? Because I've got a dream for you guys.
All right,
let's do this.
PSP was released September 1st, 2005.
Yeah,
so that had already been out for a while.
North
America was March 24th, 2005.
So. Yeah, that's that.
Would have been hosed no matter what.
Yeah, that.
I mean, but it was never meant to be. It was never meant to be a major market thing. Neither was GP2X. It was never meant to dominate the market. It was meant to run. There are plenty of Chinese companies right now that release game systems all the time, and they make money.
For a single market,
For a small market, and they do great.
I don't know. China's pretty big market. If you're just gonna be like China,
they can buy anything else too. You know,
there are so many other systems available in China.
Well, although the one advantage this system would have had, I think, is the open sourceness that you can get a lot of homebrews and things like that.
The other half of their company wouldn't have already built one, that was always the problem.
Wow. You know?
For less money. Just saying. And similar specs. Just saying.
One advantage you would have over like a PSP.
Is this one of the other systems where it's like, it could have saved the company?
No, I don't think it could have been. I think they were dead. I think they're on the road to death. Anybody disagree with that? Does anybody think that this thing would have made it? I don't think so. I think it was too
late.
That
console is pretty much like this drink. It'll get the job done. But I have no desire to go out of my way for it.
You got a point.
I gotta tell you, our endorsement shot is over.
Yeah, we've kind of screwed a lot of endorsements that way.
I drank two. It's not bad.
Or you were really thirsty.
Desperate times. Call for desperate.
It got real malty at the end, which was not soda like.
Yeah.
It's not very tasty.
So this outlandish console that I love so much.
Segwayed.
Beautiful piece of hardware.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
The Segway was beautiful.
We're going to talk about the Phantom Entertainment System by Phantom. No, it's not true. not yet. Phantom's creator was going by Infinium Labs back in 2004. But disappointment at this level deserves to be named twice. So it should be the Phantom. Plus, they did change their name to Phantom Entertainment a couple years later, so...
Oh, so it's actually survived a couple of years.
Oh, it was around for a long time. Ooh, we're gonna have some fun. Too long.
All right.
Too damn long it was here.
This is one of the most notorious vaporware consoles.
This is beautiful. And it's ugly.
Yeah, so...
It's an ugly mess.
Tumultuous.
Infinium Labs was founded in 2002 when company president Tim Roberts discovered he was running out of tech companies to run out of business and set his sights on us poor sacks, the gamers.
The first thing is we shouldn't trust a man with two first names.
Okay. Ever. That's a solid rule.
That is a solid rule.
I bet he has like a really fluffy cat he pets all the time.
Or a really weird middle name.
Okay, so wait. Should we talk about what other companies he ran out of business, though?
I do not have a list of companies that he ran out of business. Also, I'll mention another thing in the next thing.
Okay, all right, I will hold on.
He's terribly litigious.
Do you have
that? But anyway.
So he's a dick. Not the whole list. Okay, got it.
Quite a few.
Yep.
Mega dicks. Okay.
So you have a small portion on that list.
Oh, correct. Good. I want you to. Oh, feel free. Hold on.
We'll no, continue. I will, yeah.
Phantom is a piece of hardware is difficult to pin down. And one could one could definitely assume that this is purposely so.
Is it a PC? Phantom, is it a console?
We Phantom don't know.
It looks like a router.
The Phantom is a
purposely. It does.
It does look like.
Yeah, it's like a router, dude. Just to put the antennas in back, you got a router.
Turns out they made a router.
Not what we were able to do, but hey, we'll roll with it.
That is kind of how the company rolled. Oh, anyway, Phantom is a piece of hardware that's difficult to pin down, and one could assume this is purposely so. The Phantom is a purposely vague system, likely created solely for the purpose of bilking investors of their hard-earned money. Not that I'm saying they were. Please don't sue me.
What?
I need to put that in there.
Oh, we'll get to that.
What I am saying is that there's a whole lot of bankrupt tech companies leading up to the Phantom. A failed lawsuit against a tech news website, Hard OCP, for reporting this. And a Securities and Exchange Commission investigation during the advertising and design of the Phantom, ending in Tim Roberts reaching a settlement with the SEC in which he was barred from serving as an officer or public director of a public company or participating in any penny stock offerings for 5 years.
Damn.
And he also had a $30,000 fine. Which is significantly less than he bilked out of people.
Completely guilty.
Yeah, that is in the United States of America. That is as guilty as you'll ever get. That's
pretty harsh for a white collar crime.
Yeah, it's, that's like
a slap on the wrist and go, you're naughty.
That's like 100 years in prison. In China, he'd have been hung. He'd have been hung.
Oh yeah, he was hung definitely.
Yeah. Furthermore, I should point out that the Phantom skated through four release dates between November 2004. Through September 2005, and sent thousands of messages out to investors announcing these release dates, despite failing to secure a single developer or an infrastructure to distribute said non-existent games.
So people actually funded this with knowing that.
Millions of dollars. No, they didn't know it. They were just trusting his... It was a penny stock. And this is the problem. Penny stocks aren't well regulated, especially at the time.
Ugh.
Do you want to list some of the companies he ran out?
I was going to get my notes up, but I can't right now. Okay. So continue.
So what was the Phantom supposed to be?
A router.
That's what we had decided. Promo videos and like...
Going back to the picture. Router, square box, yeah.
You never actually saw anything run on it or anything, but they had some pretty sweet 3D graphic videos. Like, oh, it's this edgy, new, sweet console.
But it's just like this spinning.
Yeah, it's like pre-rendered video, you know.
Oh, not good, dude. All right. The Phantom was a set-top... I can't believe you said that router, because it just kills me now. I can't unsee that now. A set-top router. Yeah. Oh, sorry. But anyway...
Hey, just think. If you have a quality router, you can play many games with it.
That's true.
So, they delivered.
Paper. Phantom was a set-top box type of thing that was essentially a pint-sized PC capable of running Windows games, both built into the system... So and solitaire. Downloaded through Phantom's proprietary game system.
Oh, so this is like PhantomNet.
Yes, at $9.95 per month, except it was a subscription service.
Oh, fuck you.
Games would be played. I didn't make it. What the fuck?
I didn't get the sense that it meant that you paid $9.99 to play any game during that month.
Like on live.
I don't think they ever planned but it out life that existed. Far. And online was streaming. This is more of a Steam type of thing. By Steam, I mean Vapor. By Vapor, I mean I don't think they actually had a real plan. I think they just threw the idea.
They just threw all these buzzwords out. Like,
I really
games.
Do think so.
Proprietary network. Marketplace.
Woo, hot chicks.
Network games would be played with the Phantom's included wireless gamepad as well as a special wireless keyboard and mouse. The keyboard had a built-in adjustable surface for the mouse, allowing you to play keyboard and mouse games while sitting on your comfy couch. I did misspell something. The booze did get to me.
Ah, yes!
This is the company that actually did release a keyboard and mouse.
No. Oh, thanks for ruining the end of that. So you can use your
home TV. I'm never doing research again.
So you can use your home TV. Oh, I just assumed you did. TV as the monitor, just like a normal console. The Phantom was to be priced below US $399. Yeah, but nobody responded when I said, "Do you want to study anything?" So I assumed nobody did anything, except Tom.
Thank you.
Who's my golden boy?
I was hungover on Sunday and had nothing else to do.
Oh, dude, I was so hurting.
There was a lot of going on Sunday.
I looked up paperwork.
I was well rested. I'm glad I did not go.
Have some mead, Rob. Have some mead.
Hey, Rob, you want 3 mushrooms and some mead?
Yes. Yes, I do. I threw those mushrooms right up. I was crying because they were so good. Don't go, mushroom, don't go.
Wow, that's some inside baseball right there.
That was.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So about the Phantom, huh?
Yeah, we got the specs. We do have some specs. Had to go deep for the specs. That wasn't just out there. Custom Windows XPE. That means XP embedded, if you recall. Based OS. Remember when XP was supposed to be like everything? Mm-hmm. Remember there was like XP Shoe Edition and XP Anal Soothe Cream?
Not edition. Fair. I still have XP machines because they run like a top. But
the genuine XP, yes.
Yes.
Continue.
As opposed to a bottom like the other ones.
Windows me. Bottom
rocker. All right.
Up to a 3 gigahertz processor with 256 megs of DDR RAM. A high performance NVIDIA video card. We'll get back to that. High performance Intel motherboard. We'll get back to that. Dolby Digital 7.1 surround sound. Sound good?
Ooh.
You liking this?
Yeah.
Are you in there?
You saw those buzzwords.
Were you in this, Travis? Were you like, I got all these buzzwords, I want this?
Yeah. 7.1.
Yeah. 100 plus gigabyte internal storage device.
Which is big.
Yeah.
That's the time? Holy crap. Sizable.
Well, what the hell? I mean, if you're going to shoot shit out of there.
If you're going to blow shit out your ass, you might as well go
all the way. Wait a minute. It's got a TV and a toaster.
Might as well have 250.
Into it, right?
It's got a personal massager.
For your dick.
S-video, RCA, or component out.
Wow.
Which I wrote twice for some reason.
It had two of them. Duh.
Whoa.
I'll be dang. Because it's better. Twice the video. 10-100 base
internet. So
you do
the extended monitors.
Ethernet.
Yeah.
Wireless keyboard and mouse, which I mentioned. Two USB ports and 4 controller ports. Because, you know, 4 controller ports was all the rage, guys. Those multiplayer on-screen thing. Alright, so what happened to the Phantom? The Phantom missed its last release deadline in September 2005 and was quietly removed from Phantom Entertainment's website in 2006. But wait. Phantom's not done with you yet.
Do tell.
He was amazing. It's like he's psychic.
Wow.
He interrupted you before you even spoke.
I know. God, I love you, Larry. Inappropriately. While the console never saw the light of day, the gaming keyboard and mouse did. After characteristically, God, that's a big word, missing a number of deadlines over a 2-year period, and of course, missing a critical shipment of popular game system manufacturer Alienware in 2007. So they hosed over the Alienware people. Because, you know, that's smart to do.
Yeah.
You can still buy the keyboard on Amazon today if you would like to sample a bit of Phantom's handiwork. Results are mixed. We're not quite sure. I'm not quite sure whether people hated it because it was made by Phantom or whether it actually was that bad. There are mixed reviews. Some people seem to really like it. It's a neat idea, the idea that you can sit there with your keyboard and mouse and have a nice attached thing.
Yeah. It's kind of look like it, I don't know, turned or something.
My feeling is that it was a great idea, and they just built it in the cheapest way possible. That's my guess. You think? Yeah, I think. Have you had one of these, Travis? You look like you might have had one. Well, you have owned most keyboards of mine. I think it would have been fair for me to ask.
That's a fair question. Okay. That's a fair question.
I think it's fair enough.
Stern, but fair. Stern.
All right. There are some who silly people who believe that there's no physical model of the Phantom. But.
It was a PC in a box.
But.
Probably in a router box.
Yeah. What showed up in a pizza box at Shakey's in 2010? No. there was a shell that showed up in 2010, a mock-up. But it does appear that a prototype did show up in Florida. And according to a 2015 Ars Technica article, it featured an ASUS Socket A motherboard, which doesn't match the specs they were listing. But, you know, it's a PC. NVIDIA FX 5700 AGP video card, which...
What? How would they fit that in that fucking thing? I mean, it's not...
It was in there. I mean, maybe it was a half height.
Yeah, it could have been half.
Yeah, but they were doing
it.
Did they have
it up? It would have burnt out.
Oh. I don't know, the PCI.
Because remember they were into those like mini ones? In fact, I think Dell. Remember those little tiny Dells we used to have up in the
Yeah, I just don't remember. I'm sorry.
I think they had that in it.
I don't remember there ever being half height.
You know, the tiny little Dells that every single school library has
everywhere.
Huh?
Oh, the Amiga Walker, Texas Ranger?
Yeah, that's right.
Texas Ranger!
Right. Didn't they call them like Net Gear? Where they were just small boxes.
Oh, yeah, but I didn't think that. I think those all had integrated, didn't they? Most of those? It's that. But Dell did make a high performance mini one, and they always used to blow their power supplies. It did have the half height AGP because it was like a monster at the time. I'm like, dang, that's amazing, until you know they all caught a fire and lit the office up. Some DDR RAM and a bunch of ports in the back, some functioning, some not so much. Had a cable modem, had some 10100 LAN ports, composite component S video, just as they were promising. They were really gonna make this thing.
Those were super glued in place.
Yeah, congratulations, you built a computer.
Right.
Good for you! In a custom
good
case,
for you.
Travis!
Hey, I'm a game manufacturer. I built a computer.
Here?
Yeah.
You see this artwork?
Okay, so what I need to do is go out, got a router, put some PC parts in it, have investors give me money. All right, I'll see you guys later.
We're all here.
You got the business.
Come back. You got to launch the Guys Games and Beer console.
We need your money first.
Please send me your money. It has a quantum mega drive in it.
Yeah.
And a mega toaster. Gigahertz, son.
Yeah.
The only working thing is the toaster.
That'd be epic. Just put it like in a stylish toaster case. You can have two cartridges at once. That's and the eject.
You can have a toaster strudel and some French toast.
Oh God, I think we gotta take a break, and then we're gonna go on to more tales of horror.
Alright, before we take a break, we're gonna give away some stuff.
Oh, good idea.
Alright, so
jolly good tone.
Alright, so we talked about this. We're gonna give away a couple of games tonight. We're gonna give away one to our Periscope users and one to our YouTube channel. Let's see. Let's give this to the let's give
doesn't
that to
matter.
The, yeah, it does.
Which group did you like?
That goes to the Periscope, so that's to them only. So guys, this is a Steam code.
Wait, let's make sure.
Wait, let's hold it there for a few moments so people can get it.
You can do both at the same time.
Alright, get on that. Alright. So it's one code, you get to pick it. Whoever grabs it first gets the code.
Go ahead, just put the other one up too.
All right, well, hold on, then I'll put the other code up, all right?
Oh, yeah.
We're kind of two cameras at the same time. All right,
so if you go...
Oh, there it is!
There it is.
It's all right. Coming in clearly!
So, and we are giving away a couple games tonight, so if you guys renew those codes on your Steam account, you will get a couple of free games, all right?
Quick! Let me get on Steam!
Get on Steam, quick!
Get myself a free game!
Go. Get! All right, you're good, we're good. All right, so there you go, guys. There's a couple of free games to start your week or weekend out.
Oh, for the love of God, we are going to take a 5-minute break.
All right, and come back. So,
and we're going to come back with what, Tom? What are we going to come back with?
We are going to come up with the Red Jade, okay?
Not Christmas!
Think about it. Who the hell? Who the hell names a system Red Jade, okay?
What up, nerds? I'm Noob, and you're watching G2B.
And welcome back to Guys, Games, and Beer, the podcast with the most content.
of any podcast on the internet.
That's debatable.
Wow.
Did somebody laugh? Yeah, I heard somebody laughing.
Yeah, you gotta laugh on that
one. Yeah, you gotta laugh. Sorry.
I didn't say quality content.
You just said content.
I just said content.
Yeah. That's true, you did.
All right.
Alright, so are we ready for yet another game system that never was?
Third and final system of this series. Well, not third total, but third of this episode.
This is the final.
And this is the final piece of Vapor Council that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about. This is it. The thing about this one, this was actually one of the earliest ones that we've talked about. Actually, the first of the 2000 ones that failed and became Vaporware. Maybe not the first one, but pretty close to the first of the 2000s that was a Vaporware system.
We could go Plaid.
You got the picture or not?
No, I don't know.
You got the code.
It was here.
What'd you do with the picture? Okay, so.
Wait, that's not the picture.
You got the picture. I think I know what you're drawing. All right, so we're going to talk about the Ericsson Red Jade.
So Ericsson, the phone company, Ericsson.
Ericsson, the phone company. So in the early 2000s and late 90s, surprisingly, the Scandinavians led the cell phone market. You had Nokia. You had Ericsson. These were the big players in the market at the time. You had Motorola as an American company.
In fact, I think Ericsson had a huge Super Bowl commercial around that time.
They probably did. They were a massively big company out of Sweden.
In fact, I didn't even know the commercial. All the lights had gone out in the stadium,
mm-hmm.
and everyone just raises their Ericsson phone and lights the whole stadium up. The game can continue.
So Ericsson decides that they're going to... Well, let me go back a little bit further. So there's another company that's out pitching... It's an independent developer, and they're out pitching a new gaming system. They go to Sega. Sega says, no way. We're not doing handhelds at this time. We tried once, failed miserably. We're done. We went to...
First smart thing you ever heard Sega say.
Yeah. They went to Sony, who never even tried.
I'm still not sure they failed.
See, so Sony was smart enough. They didn't even try. Sony said, no, we're not getting into the handheld market at all. At this time, Nintendo had already dominated the market for how many years? Let's see, 6 years, 7 years by this time?
Yeah.
What was this being?
In 2001. So 7 years by that time.
Older than that, in 1988, 89 as a Game Boy.
Right.
Yeah, so that's over a decade.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm
damn you with your facts.
Yes.
Damn you with your basic math.
Math is hard. So they were the giant, and they were about to release.
It was an initial attempt at them, and then they just.
Yeah, they were about to release their third system. They'd already released the Game Boy, the Game Boy Color, and they were about to release the Game Boy Advanced, or it was coming out about the same time. And other companies kind of stood back and said, no, we're not even going to try at this point. There were so many failed systems already. The Atari Lynx, the Sega.
What?
Game Gear. Oh.
Still lives on in our hearts.
Yeah, it does. Actually, I own one, so I'm not going to.
There are nice things about the system, just that it was not marketably successful.
Correct, versus the all-prevalent Nintendo systems at that time. So this company was going to take them on, and they actually had some really good specs. So they found out to these two companies, they said no. They go to Ericsson, and Ericsson wants to get ahead of their competitors. They're competing with Nokia and other phones that are beginning to get into mobile gaming, like we talked about. And
there's no N-Gage.
They look at this and they go, well, this is a possibility for us. We can jump the gun. The specs are good enough where we can get way ahead of everybody else and back this. So they start sinking. They go with it and they start sinking money into it. And we're talking a pretty good chunk of change. 10 million US. So a lot of money into it. Now here's... The system was getting good. The concept was good and good press. Now, the system itself is... Nobody's sure about how many prototypes were made, if any. I'm going to say there had to be a few because there are at least one picture of a prototype. But it was going to be a 64-bit system. I do not know...
Interesting for the time.
Yeah, for a handheld. Don't know what the CPU was going to be. It was going to... At that time, the PlayStation was the king of 3D. It had the most polygons. It was doing the best. It was going to have better graphics, better 3D polygon system than that, which is saying a lot.
That's boasting.
That is boasting a lot. Multi-channel PCM sound. They were going to go with the TFT LCD, not backlit. So that's something we talked about. You know, at the time, displays were, this is early 2000, 2001.
You save on battery.
Right. better battery life and a lot less money if you didn't backlight the display. But it was going to do the over 65,000 colors, so they were talking a lot. Lithium ion, so it was a rechargeable system versus a battery operated system. The communications thing gets a little bit dicey because they talk about all sorts of different types of communication. One was the possibility it was going to be an actual phone, that they were going to have a phone system built into it.
Oh, that went well last time.
Well, now this is before the N-Gage. This is 2 years before the N-Gage.
No side talking right. here. No side
The N-Gage didn't come out until 2003. Sorry. If they could have gotten this out before, they may have jumped Nokia on that. That being said, Nokia failed miserably. But they definitely were going to do Bluetooth. They were going to have a wireless technology so that you could communicate with other systems in your area and download, sideload games that way with your friends. They were going to have a secure wireless network for downloading games. So the content would all be downloaded for this phone. There would be no download phone. Now, they don't talk about... Nobody knows what the operating phone. System was going to be.
Was it going to be a phone or not going to be a phone?
That's
3G there by this time?
No.
Right? No.
You had GPRS.
GPRS. And this would have probably been GPRS at that time.
So the games would either have to be downloaded via Wi-Fi or really slow.
Well, there's no Wi-Fi in here that I can find out about. It looks like it had the Bluetooth. So 2001, that for a phone, that's still. Got a lot of good press. A lot of companies talked about it. Nobody ever saw a prototype of it. It was never taken out and demonstrated. And what happens is in about 2000, the cell phone market was crashing a little bit. There was a worldwide recession, and a lot of the Scandinavian phone companies took a hit. Ericsson took the biggest hit. They just started shedding divisions left and right. So they, needless to say, this being a prototype and something that was being developed, killed that project first. They had already put $10 million into it. They said, screw this. We're done. And cut that loose. They also lost about 22,000 employees that year. So for a company, that is
That's a lot of employees.
That is a lot of employees. So they just
kind of feel like 22,000. Is there anybody even left?
Yeah,
just the janitor.
Yeah, if you think about
it's a small town.
I like you, Frank.
Yeah, they were doing a lot of what the N-Gage ended up eventually doing. They wanted to have PDA functions built in, so it was going to be a PDA system as well. It was going to again be your communications device. Some people say it would pair with the phone. Other people say no, it was the phone. So. But because nobody's got a hands-on on the prototype, nobody ever saw the prototype, and there might be prototypes that were made. I have to assume there were. Nobody knows what release titles were available. I mean, this is one of these things that just really evaporated. And not like in a con man evaporation where they never built a prototype. This is Ericsson, and this was a company that already developed most of it before they bought it to Ericsson and said, hey, or bought it to Sony, bought it to Sega, and then finally bought it to Ericsson. So they must have had something running.
Yeah, $10 million in.
Yeah,
they have something.
Well, this does not look like a mock-up. This looks like a real prototype.
Yeah, the screen looks like a mock-up, though.
The screen could be a mock-up.
Because the color, I knocked it out, like, in our ad. I took out that because I thought it just looked too fake.
Yeah, and that's the only...
Put a PlayStation game in there.
That is always the picture you see of that unit. Anyway, whenever you find the unit, that is the only picture you see of it, is that picture with it being displayed. Yeah, no, that's not a good sign. But I'm still betting there had to be some prototypes out there. I could not find anybody who's gotten their hand on a prototype, who ever saw a prototype, which seems a bit weird, too.
You guys check assembler?
What's that?
Assembler's the way to go. If a prototype exists...
In the deep dark.
It's not assembler.
But, again, they got a lot of good press. IGN talked about them. CNN talked about them. I mean, there was a bunch of, hey, there's this... And again, this was pre-Nokia. On the N-Gage days, there's this new kind of phone-ish gaming system coming out. So they got
those thumbsticks on that thing?
Yeah, there are two thumbsticks at the top of it. So it's got the D-pad, the four buttons, and two thumbsticks on it as well. So
well, it's one more thumbstick than the original PSP.
Yeah.
Are there triggers on the back then?
I do not know.
The
specs on this thing are so... Well, you've got the four button D-pad on it.
Yeah, but I mean...
The triggers were awesome, actually.
Think about it, depending on it.
First of all, I do think that would be great, but that if the trigger's kind of tucked in and then they had like a pressure release where you push them
and they popped out.
This looks like something the Chinese would try on one of their
I'm one of the rip-off units. Yeah, Ness emulator.
Yeah,
but Ness clone. Again, they had some good ideas.
It looks tough.
It probably had a lot of potential. It'd be cool to see if anybody actually had one of these. I just can't find anybody who had one. And again, Erickson, I can't see them putting that kind of money up without something coming out of it.
Yeah, there would have to be something.
Yeah. So
they probably burned them all.
I couldn't find a lot of information on this one.
Buried them out in some desert.
Yep. Right next to Atari.
Yeah, yeah, they're all buried out there.
That's too bad.
But it had a release date of one. And here's the other thing. I find it a little hard to believe. They were trying for $150 price point.
That's crazy low.
Yeah, that was crazy low at the time. I mean, they're...
For that technology.
Yeah, for what you were getting here, if you really would have had all that they were going to put in here, I cannot
see how you would have ever gotten that. I mean, it's perfectly possible you'd lose out money on the console, but if you have fucking Ericsson, they were big at the time. You know, you have money, you can afford to take a loss on the console if you're going to plan to try to sell games.
And the phone service.
Yeah, they're a big enough company, they can do that, unlike some tiny ass little startup.
They were until after the crash.
You get that price point from a tiny company, you're like, okay, that's suspicious.
Right.
So you get that from a big company like Ericsson, who can take a loss on those consoles. That makes sense.
Did Xbox take a loss?
Oh, God, forever.
Yeah, on the original Xbox.
Original Xbox did, and so did the Sony PS3. Yeah, they took a hit, too, until they came out with the Slim.
It's just common practice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except with Nintendo. They don't take a bath on their consoles.
They
use older technology, so... Yeah.
Right. I mean, the Wii... Yeah, they look at the Wii. The Wii was such old technology that they weren't losing any money on
their consoles. That's their practice.
Yeah.
They use older technology because it's cheaper and more reliable and more refined. It's the Game Boy. It was the Game Boy Advance.
We gotta talk about the NX one of these days. We gotta get that on.
But, Ericsson was probably doing the same thing. They figured they'd take the loss up front. So... Yeah, so, and then eventually, again, and Sony may have ended up with the assets anyways, because Sony Sony picks up Ericsson's assets.
I was about to say.
It becomes Sony Ericsson. And maybe Sony ended up with the assets and just kind of absorbed them into other places in the company. You know, who knows?
Come to find out, it did become the Vita.
Maybe even the PSP or the Vita.
They made it sexier,
So that it could have easily been where they used some of that technology. They may have put it into those systems and then just buried all the rest of it.
Yeah. So. Super exciting news!
Yeah,
we have a fourth system.
We do. G2B is going to launch their own system.
Oh.
Design graphics here.
All right. So, investors.
So, here's our prototype.
All right. So, our investors look.
Design.
Well, you can kind of see the design of the other one. So, we're going with the UltraVision business model, where it comes with everything.
Ah, come on.
A toaster.
There it is.
A foot bath.
Moments away.
I want to see what it looks like.
Give it to the other screen. Dolby surround sound. Victory lamp. And it's powered by nuclear power. It has everything. This is the kids' version. There's no adult port. Mm. It's the G2B Kegatron.
Here you go, and, you guys.
It's got a toaster.
It's got a toaster.
Wait, we got the parts of the Kegatron in there?
Yeah, unlike them, we've got a working prototype. You know, there we go. So
it's a good start.
So we have one-upped both the Phantom.
And the UltraVision.
And probably the retro VGS.
Yeah, we've actually got something.
You know, this speaker on the side kind of looks like the speaker you use when we do guest.
I think that is the guest speaker. Hey, where'd that go?
R&D budget is tight, all right?
So for...
we're going to make it
for
someday.
Less than $20 in beer.
Yeah.
Less than $30 in... Less than $40 in beer, we have designed... our own game system already, and we're further along than the Phantom ever got.
I'm very impressed with us.
That's right.
I'm very drunk, so it's okay. All right, so, Rob, I suppose we should wrap this up.
Yeah,
we should. Oh, wait, we should pick one. We'll pick our favorite of these three systems.
You ready to pick your nose? I mean, pick a favorite?
It's a Kegatron.
You can go with the Kegatron. It's as real as two of the other three. It's as realistic as any of the other three.
I think you could make that happen.
I would love having a foot bath while I'm playing.
That's right.
I don't know about the nuclear power. That might be a problem. We might have to redesign it.
The Mr. Fusion 3000 on the back of that.
Run off of garbage and banana peels.
That's right.
I think we can have a prototype running by MGC.
I'm sure we can slap enough shit on the side of a
okay,
can.
Okay. All right, so.
You guys, have breakfast.
I'll have to go with the Red Jade. I mean, you think talk about, you know, that early, the 2001 era, you know, having those kind of graphics. Again, it's not the most aesthetically pleasing out of the three, but I mean, it's got two control sticks. It looks like it's got, you know, a lot of features to it, and functionality, having the, you know, the wireless data of, like, potentially a cell phone would be pretty awesome. So, I mean, if you could have, you know, PlayStation 1 graphics on a mobile device before the N-Gage came out, that's pretty fucking cool in my book. So I'm going to go with the Red Jade.
All right.
Yep.
Ben, how about you?
Screen size on that one again?
You know, they don't say, but it looks a little bit bigger than the 2.5, but it is small.
Well, here, I've got it to scale with the XG. No, I don't. It's not to scale.
I got to say the XGP. I think that looks pretty cool. I mean, we only got the
boring
MIDI
console.
But please, I like how it was open source. I mean, that's what makes the bar.
GP2X Wiz, and you would essentially be getting the same console, except prettier. The Wiz. Check out the GP2X Wiz. Nice. Really good.
Mike, how about you?
I'm gonna go off of cocaine-filled dreams and hookers, and I'm gonna go with the Phantom.
One bolt for cocaine.
Yes. That's where all your investment money on that system went.
Yep.
All right, Larry, how about you?
You know,
at least I knew I was doing something.
I understand the draw to the Phantom. It's interesting because it's so, you know, Phantom-esque. But
it's like a Phantom.
It is just kind of a PC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So I guess I'd lean towards the Jade, you know.
The Red Jade, all right.
Yeah, the Red Jade, yeah.
Rob?
Yeah, I'm going to give another vote for the Red Jade. It looked exciting. I think it would have been an exciting console. And realistically, the Phantom just was going to be a rip-off PC.
Yeah, you were buying high-end PC.
I'm sorry. The XGP.
Wait, I didn't know we were talking about Steam boxes.
Oh!
But for $700.
The XGP really did nothing that GP2X already wasn't doing. The problem was that console already got made from that company. It already happened.
Yeah.
It's already happened. They made three consoles in the time it took them to develop one piece of vaporware.
So it's like the bigger brother had already, like, lettered.
Yeah, yeah. And the little brother's like, oh, great, now I gotta try to follow that crap.
This is a battle between that and the GP2X. GP2X would have easily won, in my opinion, but no, it's not. It's just...
No.
It's pretty, yeah. But I gotta give it to the Tampax.
Yeah, no, I'm going with the Red Jade too. Again, DivX movie, cell phone capabilities, GPS, digital camera, MP3 audio, web browser. I mean, it really. Any other company,
you would have said, they're just throwing crap out there.
But it's Ericsson. Yeah. It's Ericsson. Okay, so that being said, I did buy an N-Gage, so that kind of tells you I got really bad judgment.
You bought both N-Gages, dude. The N-Gage and the N-Gage too.
No, I only bought the N-Gage.
You had the N-Gage too.
He had the N-Gage too. Didn't you? I thought you had the N-Gage too.
No, the original N-Gage was so much better though.
I had a weird European, like, Nokia 5 series that ran Symbian OS. You can play
all the games on it anyways.
Yeah,
at
it was
that point.
An N-Gage
though. Okay. Yeah, so I actually bought the N-Gage. Because
that gets an episode too.
Because I really did like the idea of the gaming. And the N-Gage really was a good gaming system. It was the phone that sucked. So
N-Gage could cover, it could take
anyone
an episode.
Anyone prepared to?
There's enough out there.
Think back to all episodes and pick their most desired system over all three.
Why don't you start? That's an excellent idea.
That is an excellent idea. So, again, this is our third one. Which one would I... If I had to pick one that I really wanted to see happen...
I was only in two of these, so I didn't see the first
three. Oh, Christ. I'm going to go with the... God, what was the name of it again?
Oh, that's a challenge in itself.
Oh, see, I got to remember the name. Yeah, because these...
Which era?
This was the 80s. That was the one with the
Ultravision?
The Ultravision, oh, yes. God. I'm going to go with the Ultravision. Thank you. Because if I want pie in the sky, that was pie in the sky, okay? That was, oh my God, we're going to throw everything we can into a box. And I'm sorry. Thank you. It's just like the G2B Kegatron.
The thing is, I think for the time period, they probably could have got enough money if they really wanted to from suckers to get that thing to actually happen. I don't know how much it would have carried because there's just...
That's it.
It was
Atari 2600 emulator.
It's not a fraud if you actually bring to market.
Apple II emulator, DOS emulator, or not emulator, probably true hardware boards in it.
They couldn't have emulated it then.
No, it would have been true hardware boards. So they were throwing everything. It would have done everything. And the price point was not unrealistic for computers of the time.
It would have been, if it would have released, it would have been like $2,500.
I know, there was no way they would have released it for the thousand.
That would have been my
choice. So like $4,000 these days.
Well, no, we're coming back around. Wait, all right. How about you?
What was the '90s one that was basically the predecessor, or the successor to
Panther?
The Panther was
the Atari Panther.
Yeah,
the Atari Panther was
right. The Jaguar that didn't make it.
No. The Ultravision. There was
the one that had everything.
Oh yeah. God, the Cheetah Man console.
Ah, thank you.
You did that
Cheetah one. The active action.
Okay, so you want
a great controller.
Yes, the controller that could do everything, but also had that really cool chair that was amazing.
So that was the 80s. We're talking about the vibrator football.
Yeah.
Vibrator.
Oh, with the funny handles on the side.
The one that could do everything.
Yes,
again.
Another do-it-all system.
Yeah. I'm saying these do-it-all systems sound awesome, never would have worked, but if we had them,
if they really
they
could
been
do it
awesome.
All.
I mean, isn't the Nintendo V really the same thing? You've never seen the Nintendo?
No, to find that
I thought
one
I
now.
Showed everybody the Nintendo.
No.
The Retro 5 is kind of
like... Retron 5.
Retron 5.
Yeah, but the Retron
like
5 actually does everything.
Yeah,
it does. Really
does. And it exists.
Well, I mean, it has its issues.
It does exist.
That's
it has its issues,
far
but
higher.
It does set the bar pretty high.
I'm going to go with the Ouya. Oh.
Oh.
Low blow.
That hurt, man.
All right, so which one are you really
going with? It actually showed up, kind of.
That wasn't vaporware. It did exist, but I'm surprised you still went with it after learning what it was all about.
No, I mean, what do you mean? Eventually, an Android console did work.
You should do an episode of that.
We should. All right, so
that's a story.
Your choice,
though.
That
is a story.
At least that was a labor of love as opposed to, like, the Phantom, which was just...
which Rob just said, I'm going to go with the Phantom, actually. The one that could have maybe saved Atari.
Oh, you mean the,
Not the Phantom.
The Phantom definitely can save anybody.
That's right.
The Panther.
If it had come out in the right
time frame.
It could have won. I believe that, especially since it had like a bunch of updated things and stuff like that.
I'm a believer in that thing.
Yeah.
Believe.
And they had prototypes too, didn't they? It was just a box though.
Was that the Walker? Texas Ranger.
Yeah.
You guys didn't do it.
Yeah,
he
what
got
the
it.
Heck?
What, am I supposed to carry you guys all the time?
Yeah,
sometimes
really, pretty
heavy.
Much. You gotta do something, damn it.
Larry can't
get
his own
beers. It was your thing, though.
Especially that episode. Holy shit.
Yes, you guys were nailing it, you know? We left you room.
But yeah, I would go with that.
We left you cowbell room and you ran.
Oh! Damn it, Larry. You brought up the cowbell. Now I feel bad.
But yeah, I would still like run with that, too.
All right. That's fair. Lair?
The Ultra Vision. I want to play video games and listen to a dial radio. That's it. In one unit.
That's right. That's right. With it's battery operated that you can plug into your car.
That's right. I want to go to the beach. I want to go to North Beach. Plug my Ultra Vision in. Turn on some 50s radio and play Pac-Man.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what I want.
Oh
to
my
do.
God! Perfect.
It would kick ass.
Perfect.
Sitting
that
at
would
the
be
beach
awesome.
That thing.
Yeah. That. See, there you go. Perfect.
It was luggable.
Yes.
Luggable.
Oh, and
exactly.
Well, judging by that, I bet like a bunch of car battery sales were kicked back and spiked in that because people's batteries would just go
and
shit.
Was it nuclear power?
And all
didn't they play? Yeah.
That should have had the damn nuclear reactor on it.
And now that you have those battery jump things, you know, you can just run your battery down.
Okay.
Plug it and then jump your car.
No, interesting story about those battery jump things, but I'll talk about those later after the show.
Yeah. You'd need a Prius.
Yeah.
Did Travis go?
Oh, that's
no, Travis hasn't gone yet. Travis! Y'all wanna.
Walker, duh.
Oh!
Walker,
oh.
Texas Ranger!
I don't know.
Like, it just, like, it seems like a pretty good model of PC. I mean, Like,
it doesn't look like a router.
Platform.
It doesn't look like a router.
But wait, you called it a PC?
Yeah, it was a PC.
A personal computer, yes.
It was a PC, you jackass.
All right, you need to wrap this up, Rob.
I've already
this
had this
very,
conversation.
This is a very diverse. This is a very diverse group. I think we've all know. There's been
all
two for the Ultra Vision.
Yes.
Two for the Ultra Vision.
Yeah, the two old fogies over here.
Hey, we're
for the Ultra.
Okay,
oh, no. I was the.
You were no. You were
old.
You
use a word that an old person would use. I think you're a secret old.
Secret old person.
You met somebody behind the barn and get an AARP card.
Deep throw. He called
himself. All right, Rob. Let's wrap this up.
All right. So
what's yours?
Yeah, wait. You gotta finish it off.
Finish it off.
I was gonna go for the Atari, to tell you the truth, but I gotta tell you what. Larry's vision of sitting there in his sitting there in his rape van, hanging out with his Ultra Vision was just too good of.
Whoa!
It's too good of a thing.
Anybody watches Workaholics? Grape van. It's a grape van.
And you know it had bubble windows.
Oh yes.
Oh, you know it.
Wizard on the side.
Hell yes.
You open it up, it's got just this stupid little door hanging thing.
Just pulled up right on the beach, sitting there playing your Ultra Vision.
Okay, that does actually sound good. I'm not gonna lie. Right now, the sweet van with the bed and the shag carpeting covering the wall.
All
right,
I'll
and the ceiling, and then the Ultra Vision back there.
It's just right three the old guys. Sweaty dudes just playing the Ultra Vision in the van right now. Going, fuck! Oh, yes! Oh, in the ass! Fuck you!
Why do we have to turn off the AC? Because the Ultra Vision takes too much power.
I could just imagine people walking by like, what the fuck is going on in there? So next week, catch our new show, Three Guys in Ultra Vision, on NBC! Because you know they'd show that.
Yeah,
one of us turns
to catch
out
a paperware
eventually.
I mean, it did run off a nuclear reactor, didn't it?
Yeah. That's right, that's how we get our superpowers. All right, Rob, take us out.
Kids? Alright, so
you're genetically deformed.
Before I take you out, we'll talk about this week's game focus. And this week it will be Demo Derby by the Game Mechanics. Ooh. They want to tell you about their lovely demolition racing game.
Have another beer, Rob.
We're going to tell you about the demolition racing game.
I played this game. I liked it.
Demo Derby, it's actually a sequel or a remake of a game that apparently a lot of people still play. So, yeah, very interesting. Demo Derby is one of the most authentic Demo Derby is one of the most authentic demolition derby games ever made. It's being tested and critiqued by the demolition derby community itself, including many drivers and women who hang out with drivers. The game recreates.
Ooh.
Yeah, because in the South. Oh, they're one of our southern listeners.
Yeah,
the adrenaline thrill drivers get when they're hurdling their cars at one another, hoping to be the last car moving. Jesus, I need Zoom. There we go. Wouldn't you love to be able to start your car and smash it into another car? Every day when I see Illinois drivers. When you play a racing game, do you see how big an accident you can create? Well, in demolition derbies, that's a good thing. In fact, you don't smash things, you lose. Whoo! Lots of tracks. I'm going to skip a paragraph there. Lots of tracks with day and night events follows the basic rules you will see at any demolition derby and damage based on the physics of the collision. Yeah, it looks pretty good.
So, okay, you actually pronounced demolition.
Oh, correctly, the second time.
Oh, come on.
And the third time.
All
right, so. Quality, something you don't get here.
Where can our users find this game?
Well, you can check it out at www.gamemechanics.com.
All right, so, guys, check it out.
There is a link right now on our Facebook to the game.
All right, good.
So check it out.
Yeah.
You know, get your demolition on.
I liked it.
Did you do some demolition?
I did.
Demolition.
Did you put that cartridge right in and do some demolition?
That's
cartridge.
Right.
Cartridge.
Speaking of demolition, we just about demolated this particular podcast for the week.
Oh, Christ.
Don't forget to check us out at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. You can check us out on Facebook, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer. On Twitter, you can check us out at guysgamesbeer. No, and because they're cheap with their letters on them Twitters. Finally,
we are on Periscope now, as the people who are watching us on Periscope have found out. We will be doing this on a regular basis, I think.
Yep.
www.periscope.com/guysgamesandbeer. So you can watch us live as we record this and really get upset with Albert.
And if you are watching live and you do respond, we respond.
Well, we did in the beginning where we got too drunk and then we couldn't see what people were typing in.
Yeah, I got
shit.
Kind of
busy.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
Yeah. But, you know.
But generally we do.
Generally, we do listen to
yes. And we are on, we record normally Tuesday nights, 6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
That's true. Free game giveaways. Yay. Thanks for watching, guys. Games and Beer!
Yeah!